you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hello, Doug Mallard.
Hey, DB. What up?
I'm worried people that are listening to this are going to be, who's DB?
Doug Benson.
According to my notes, we've got another good one today.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, I always write down before the show if it's going to be a good one or not. I think this is going to be a good one. A longtime friend of mine, season one, Last Comic Standing, which means he was in seasons two and three, I think also because they had weird, a weird battle season and a best of season or something. But he's also maybe better known as, you know, just a hilarious comedian who's been a frequent guest on Doug Loves Movies and Getting Doug with High.
Ooh.
He might even be high today, Doug.
Ooh, let's find out.
What are you on?
I'm on coffee. That's it. But
that's it.
Yeah, maybe I'm going to partake soon.
I think you're always on something. And coffee counts for sure. Coffee definitely.
It's a drug. It's a drug for sure.
Yeah, you're addicted.
Yeah.
Have you worked with Rob Cantrell?
I have not. I'm excited. Okay.
Haven't met him even?
I think we've probably been on a show or two together.
That's what I meant by work together.
You're both not like a week together at a club, but
A whole week. I see.
Yeah.
But maybe briefly. We'll see what his take on it is. We'll see if he remembers you or specifically when you've met. And let's do that right now. Let's go to work. Hello, Rob Cantrell.
Hello, Dougs.
Hey, dude.
I was chatting with Doug, the other Doug, earlier, and he says you probably have done some gigs together, but nothing specific comes to mind for him. Do you feel the same way about him, Rob?
Yes.
I just feel like we've all met all the comics, but in passing, you know what I mean? But I don't...
Yeah.
I got the same vibe. Like I may have got he has kind of a familiar aura and we may have ships in the night a couple times, but we haven't. Yeah. I don't know. But I know of him and I know Doug M and looked you up and I'm excited to, you know, engage.
Yeah, man.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you didn't decide to turn us down once you looked into it.
I don't know.
Once you did some research. I just feel like with all the panels I've had on Getting Doug with High and Doug Loves Movies, I feel like the two of you have been on both shows a bunch of times, but have never been on at the same time.
Right.
That's what I feel like. So like that, cause that's a kind of a bonding thing in terms of like, you'd remember having done that together, but whereas when they are just like at comedy festivals or in a comedy lineup, of course it's easy to either not interact or not recall the interactions, especially because we enjoy weed so much. So, Rob.
Doug M., did you ever come to New York and do Doug's 12 guests?
I have not done it.
It may have been one of those shows. That's what I thought. I was like, well, it could have been one of those shows because they're so chaotic and wild.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't remember everybody from those gigs. But I'm excited and glad to be here.
Well, that's, I guess, answers my first question, which is, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Can't complain. Alive. It's cold here in New York. So, yeah, healthy, breathing. I'm doing good.
I like it. Very much.
I got a new hat. Got a new hat. I'm really
excited. Oh, that just is a life-changing experience when you get a new hat. I can see why you're on an upswing right now.
A winter hat is just so key right now.
Okay. It's a winter hat. That makes more sense. Yeah. I last time I was on the East Coast, I brought with me a winter hat, and you're right. It's just it's night and day having a hat on when it's so fucking cold out there.
And I lost my first one, so I felt bad. Like, I went a week without there, and we're having like this cold, like, so, you know, vortex type stuff going on, cold vortex. And I didn't have a hat, and my brain was freezing. But then when you get a hat, it's like putting a koala on your head. Like, somebody just hugs your brain, like, it's going to be all right. Just keep on going. There's hot chocolate down the corner.
If you put a koala on your head to know to, you know, have that analogy.
No, I haven't. But I think it would be nice.
I think so.
I don't know. They got syphilis, so that might be.
So you got to really hope. You got to hope that it doesn't fuck your head. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't want to get STD from a koala fucking your head.
Giving it to your ear hole. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to tell your partner, you know, and like, well, how'd you get that? Well, koala fucked my head.
Yeah, he thought I was a tree and that my ear was a knot.
You know, my hair, you just wanted to crawl up in there and just went at it. And what can you do?
There's nothing you can do about it except enjoy it, which you clearly would if it happened to you.
I would. I've never been to Australia, and I've never been in close contact to a koala. Maybe a zoo, but zoo animal contact isn't as real, don't you think? Like, I want to run into a koala in nature.
It is always more exciting to see these things in nature, but then also there's that level of, it's still a wild animal and you just don't know where things could go wrong.
As soon as I said that, I questioned myself, like, you see animals in the wild, but I do. Sometimes you do, like,
yeah,
and it is kind of special.
Well, they're either scared of you or you're scared of them. Doesn't seem to be, much, you know what I mean? It's like the difference between seeing a deer and a bear. You know what I mean? Like, you see a deer, you're never like, holy shit, I better look out. That deer might do something to me. But, bear obviously is a more tricky situation.
Have you ever seen a bear in the wild?
I do not feel like I have, but also, haven't spent that much time in the wild. But
what about you, Jim?
Just from like being inside a place, seeing it right outside, but not in the wild, I guess.
Oh, like it was going door to door.
Like, I've seen black bears.
Yeah. It was it was huge and it moved. People don't realize how fast they are. They are swift and it moved like a ghost. Like, it's agile. They're agile too for how big they are. It was wild.
Right. But then they also, when they know you're looking at them, they move real slow just to make you think, oh, this is some dumb, slow bear. And then boom, they're right on top of you.
It's a nice SWAT. One SWAT, they could take you out.
Oh yeah.
It's, I've been thinking more and more about bears of late because footage was out there celebrating what was going to be Betty White's 100th birthday, but then became like, celebrating her life. Is there's this clip of her sitting next to a giant bear out on some sort of animal reservation and feeding it marshmallows out of her hand. And hugging it and stuff. And it makes me so uncomfortable. It's adorable. But at the same time, it's like, can you really trust that bear 100% to just eat marshmallows out of somebody's hand without biting their hand off?
Or, you know, deciding to go for a bigger treat and just, you know, chomp on their head or something.
Yeah.
Are there bears that have been just, I guess there must be bears that have just been trained to be pretty docile, but then you watch that movie Grizzly Man and that guy was living with a bear and thought he was getting along great with it till he was killed by it.
Yeah. I mean, I think in a long enough timeline, like
just if the bear is having a bad day.
Exactly.
That's the thing with animals is like they're still no matter. We just got two cats, and it's amazing from kittens, right? And it's just amazing to see them grow, and their nails are getting dangerous, and they're getting into trouble. And but animals will you can coexist, but at the same time, they are fucking animals. Like they always have that card, you know. They always.
That's why we call them animals, because they're animals.
Yeah, you can't. They're not dogs. They're definitely not dogs. Like you guys, if you guys took a swat at my head, I'd be like, come on, Doug, stop swatting at my head. But if an animal does it, it's like, they don't give a fuck. They're going to take a swat.
I'm pretty sure there's never been a bear named Doug.
Oh man.
That'd be a terrible name for a bear.
But they'd kind of look like Dougs.
Well, I mean, a lazier bear, yeah, I guess would be, you know, like maybe a well-fed circus bear might be named Doug. But what about the name Rob? Let's get into it. Growing up, Rob, like, first of all, it's short for Robert.
Short for Robert, yep.
And how quickly did you arrive at that? Have you ever been in your life referred to as Robert? I know my whole time I've known you, I just think of you as Rob.
Yeah, that Rob would kind of came right around high school to college. I snuck Rob in there, but it was Robbie when I was young. It was always Robbie with an Y, actually. Like I used to have an old joke, like if your name is Robert, you have five options. You could be called Rob, Bob, Robbie, Robert. Is there anything else on Bob?
Not Bobby.
Bobby. Yeah. But I always went with Bobbert. Nobody calls anybody Bobbert.
I almost said Bobbert just to be silly.
That was the punchline. I said, I want my name. Bobbert. It was during the Prince changing his name. And I was like, I'm an artist. I want to change my name as the artist formerly known as Bobbert.
I think Bobbert's
I was
not,
always
I,
Robbie
you know,
Young. I was always
Rob works for you, but I don't know. Maybe it might have been fun to just embrace Bobbert and just go for it. Because, you know, there's every comedian that's come along in my career that, like, you know, has a kind of a weird twist on a, you know, on a standard name. You don't forget those people.
I know. When I first started stand up, I went out and did some road gigs. Do you know Daniel Dugar, Doug?
No,
he's from Oakland. He's an African-American comic. And we went out and did some gigs. He was like, you know what a good name for you would be is Bobby Cantrell. You should go as Bobby Cantrell. And for a minute, I thought about it. I was like, that does have a ring to it. That does sound really fucking cool. But I didn't go with it. I stuck with Rob because I switched over. I was going hard with Rob. I shifted into Rob gear.
I can't think off the top of my head of a name that Cantrell doesn't sound good with.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like it's just Cantrell is just right there is just a cool ass name. People can just call you that if they choose. I'm sure that happens to you.
Yep.
Cause it's just, I don't know, something about it. Cantrell. I mean, obviously there's the Jerry Cantrell from Alice in Chains. So there's a famous Cantrell, but he's the only one I can think of.
Well, there's a soul singer named Blue Cantrell, female.
Oh, really?
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. And had a great R&B hit. And she only had one or two hits, but she was big for a while. So,
oh, it was Google, like hit 'em up style or something.
Yeah, hit 'em up style. Him up.
Yeah, Blue Cantrell. I forgot about that. But see, the name Blue is stupid, but Cantrell saves it.
I don't know. Blue is kind of cool, man.
With Cantrell, it certainly is. Blue Cantrell is cool sounding.
Yeah. It's a Southern name. My dad is Robert Cantrell. My name is Robert Carl Cantrell, and I'm junior. And my dad was Robert Carl Cantrell Sr. And it's from Virginia. And the Cantrells came over like in the Mayflower, like not the Mayflower, but it was like the one right after the Mayflower. And went right into, like, there's a town in Virginia where I'm related to everybody. Like, everybody.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, everybody's my cousin.
and that town is called Cantrell, Virginia.
Cantrell, Virginia. Everybody has a limp and a crooked eye. But it's just a really old Southern, you know, Virginia. There's a lot of Cantrells in North Carolina and Virginia and West Virginia, but they're everywhere.
Did you take it personally?
Alt-right Rob Cantrell, like, dude that was killing people, or it wasn't, it was just really bad, and it was killing my PR there for a while. The first thing you Google, and I'm like, oh, fuck, this dude, get out of here.
Oh, but that must not have been too big of a, or too long lasting of a story, because I don't think I've ever heard that there was an evil Rob Cantrell.
Great.
Awesome. It's just a Google search.
I think it just needs another 2 years and it'll fade away. You know how the internet's just this infinite universe that's expanding so large.
Yeah, it's true. But I just, I guess also though, if people are looking for you, they're going to see, like, I just typed your name in and the first thing that comes up is Rob Cantrell, actor. So that's you.
Yes.
But I'm curious about the next thing that comes up. Rob Cantrell, senior helpers.
Yeah, he's killing it. I've seen him around.
Oh, he's a guy that helps seniors.
Yeah. He's like a VP of helping seniors. So that's a good Cantrell.
That's good.
He's helping older people, which is nice. We need to do more of that.
But you beat all of these Rob Cantrells to the specific name Rob Cantrell on your socials, right?
Yes, I am the first. No, I think Instagram, somebody else got it, but my Twitter is the first Rob Cantrell. Like, I don't have to do any 99s or 72.
Yeah. I'm
straight up Rob Cantrell, and I could see people hating on it. The internet has just made everybody here.
What about another thing it says, Googling your name, is Rob Cantrell Pulse Power.
Oh, yeah.
What is that? What is that? Is there like a workout guru named Rob Cantrell too?
No, I think it's an energy service in Texas. Like, he's like some type of VP of something.
Oh, probably that those energy companies that are ripping people off in Texas by saying, we'll only charge you if you need heat. And then there's a horrible winter storm and they're like, that'll be $2,000, please.
It's great.
I don't know if that's what pulse power means, but I feel like
we can't be trash. We don't know. But there is like a guy that's killing it in high school soccer, because you get the, what is the Google alerts? What's the email? Am I saying that right? Where, a Google alert will pop up in my email and I'll be like, oh, is that some TV show or are people still caring about me? And it'll be like, Rob Cantrell scored 5 goals at the high school, Crow High School in Livermore, Montana.
Way to go.
I'll be like, oh, well, good for him.
Good for him. Nicknames?
Nicknames.
Have you ever had any? Has any nicknames stuck on Robbie Cantrell?
Robbie, let's see. Oh, well, the funniest, I'm scared to put it out there.
No, don't put out something that you don't want. Cause what if we, if Doug and I like it, we might start calling it you by it.
No.
It'll catch on like it is funny.
But they used to call me Can't Spell. It was the big joke.
Were you bad at spelling?
I was terrible at spelling.
It really hurt.
Oh, it hurt. It hurt real.
If you were great at spelling, you could just be like, ha ha. Yeah.
But I didn't care too much. It was funny. And I always had a problem with spelling. but I think a lot of it's focus. The older I get, I think a lot of stand-up comics, the ADD, and I was before Ritalin, so I never got any Ritalin. I've never done any of medication. I was just out to space back in the day.
I would say, right.
Yeah, there was no ADD. It was just like, that kid's a space cadet in the 80s. And
Or it's, that kid's a spaz.
Yeah.
A weirdo. Like, yeah, it's just, I look back on high school and I'm just like, how did I even make the teachers even for a second think I was listening to anything they were saying? Because I was not.
I would sleep right in the middle of this Russian studies class. I feel so bad to the teacher. It must have been terrible. But I would literally like sit in the back and just fall asleep every, like, I couldn't help it. Sometimes the teachers are just so boring, you couldn't help fall asleep.
Oh my God. I had a ancient history in college, ancient history course, that I, had to take. And, not only was the subject boring and the teacher boring and he spoke very slow, but he would also have a vocal tic where, he would add the sound to things. He'd be like, "In ancient Sumeria, there were many people who would," and I'm not exaggerating how often and how specific that noise was. And I don't know. I that's the thing. When you're that age, you just don't have the nerve to say, "Hey, could you stop doing that?"
But did like, could you
think about what your profession
sounds like?
Is
a metronome. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, well, those were just two very close together. Cause making an example that it didn't matter how far apart they were. Like they came in the most random space. They tended to be on commas and periods though. So it was just, I was already not interested in what he was saying and then driven to distraction by that.
Oh, that'd be brutal.
Yeah, it was awful, and I'll never forget it. And thanks a lot, guy whose name I don't know anymore, is probably dead. Listen, we got to get a break in here, so let's go ahead and do that now, and we'll be back to talk some more with Rob Can't Spell after this.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We are back. We're here with Rob Cantrell. See, I'm not going to try to make that name stick.
Yeah, it's already stuck. I'm going by you for now on.
You don't deserve it. You can spell enough. I mean, nowadays, that's the other thing. Like, why is anybody learning how to spell unless they're doing it competitively? Because if you're a kid, and once you've got your cell phone in your hand, you can pretty much spell almost any word you want just by taking a stab at it and having Google say, "Did you mean?"
And we got Alexa, we got Siri.
Yeah.
They'll help too, won't they? You can just say, "Hey Siri, spell this," and Siri will just do it, right?
Yeah, I'm sure.
All the time. Yeah, I do. I still do that. Yeah.
She doesn't just go, "Hey, go pick up a dictionary, you little bitch." Yesterday I was watching Let's Make a Deal, and they have like people on home screens now, but they still play the little Let's Make a Deal games with them. So like they said to somebody, do you have a dictionary in your house? And the person ran off to go see if they had could find their dictionary or if they even had one. And it really struck with me that, like, unless you're just keeping one for the fuck of it, just for, you know, old time's sake, there really is no reason to own a dictionary.
I know.
Yeah, I have one. It's called my phone.
Yeah. But I have one on the shelf over there. So I was like, damn, if I was on Let's Make a Deal, I would have got $300.
It's like globes. Yeah.
It's like what?
Like globes. Like, they look cool. Like, to have like an old dictionary laying around. But you still internet. Yeah. It's just like, I was just thinking about phones just taking over. There's no newspapers, no mag. I mean, there are a little bit, but it's just like,
yeah. I mean, what are newspaper hoarders doing right now? Are they just like trying to find other phones and stacking those on top of each other?
I got all these cats. They got to pee somewhere. I got to get some newspapers.
Rob Cantrell, the question we ask all of our guests on this show is, how have Doug's been an influence in your life? Have you had any, before you met me, have you had any friends or associates that you were close to named Doug?
Well, I mean, you've been a big part of my comedy career. So I just say, thank you, Doug Benson. I had to do the marijuana logs, tour the country, also all your podcasts. So I love, but something will click in there. I don't know if I ever had like a right-hand dude or my best or one of my friends named Doug. I know there's some Dougs I know, and they were always cool. But the first Doug is Doug E. Fresh, one of the coolest Dougs of all time with the song.
Yeah, that's why Dougs tend to get called, like, people just, once they've said Doug, E. Fresh tends to slip out. And I'm always like, put that back in. No, I mean, I don't mind it. It's weird to be white, and it's weird to be white and having another white guy call you Dougie Fresh. But I'm not here to talk about Pete Holmes.
Out of the hip hop names, it's one of the better ones.
Oh yeah,
it's just great. It's just so memorable. And Dougie Doug, who has done this show, he's another one that, you know, springs to mind. But we just have found it interesting that, you know, for whatever reason, most of the people that we talk to on the show don't have a lot of close associations with people named Doug. Maybe part of it might be the name is going out of style. I ask it every show I do now, is there anyone named Doug in the audience? And there never is. I was just in San Francisco the other night, two shows. Anybody named Doug here? Crickets.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And which is fine. I'm not mad about it. Cause, you know, it's kind of neat to have a name that's not overdone.
That's what I was going to say. That's what you do want. That's gives you more power.
But these days now people are just naming their kids. They're just making up words. They're just making up names and then, you know, going from there, you know, and then if that person becomes famous for some reason, then that name's going to actually become a baby name, or even just something like Yeezy. There's people naming their kids Yeezy already for sure. Oh, just because Kanye made that right up for himself.
Oh yeah.
Isn't that wild?
I mean, Doug's better than Yeezy.
Oh, sure. I'm just ruminating on the idea that when an odd name becomes famous,
Then it
gets in the mix as a name and people start actually picking it up and using it.
Right.
Names like Doug fall by the wayside.
Yeah. I was just getting sad that will become more popular than Doug very soon.
Like, Doug isn't biblical, you know, it doesn't have that to cling to.
There's no Dougs in the Bible.
Nope. No, that's going to be the name of my autobiography. There's no Dougs in the Bible.
And there's
that's how I like
Doug,
it.
But there's been a Doug president, hasn't there?
No, just VPs, husband of the vice president. the current first or second gentleman, Doug Emhoff, is a Doug. But I think that's as far into the White House. Like, you know, there's Frederick Douglass made a lot of strides in politics, but that was his last name. And it was even just, I believe he made it up and he added an extra S to the end of it. I posted this recently, or maybe I just sent it to Doug Millard, but on Jeopardy, they talked about how the final Jeopardy was Frederick Douglass. His last name, he added an S because he thought it sounded classier. I mean, Douglas is already classy enough, in my opinion. I don't think you need a second S on there.
Yeah, it just makes ass.
They come up with peanut butter.
What's that?
Frederick Douglass came up with peanut butter.
No. Yes. That was George. That was Carver.
Oh, I think you may be right.
No, Frederick Douglass, I guess, was a great debater. And anyway, fortunately, I do still feel a little kinship to Douglass as a last name. You know, I'm still sort of interested in it, but, you know, I'm more focused on the, you know, the first name Doug's, because Douglass as a last name is just, it's just a classy name, you know, like It was the family's name on my three sons, you know, Chip and Ernie Douglass, great examples. Chip and Ernie Cantrell would have been great too. Douglas and Cantrell are both great last names for any stupid name you put in front of it.
Yep.
I've decided. You know what I mean? Like Quack Douglas. Quack Douglas.
Boom.
Dork Cantrell. It makes it cooler somehow.
He's somehow cool. Quack Douglas sounds smart. Last name Douglas does sound kind of like you got a microscope. Like, you sound smart and kind of suave.
Yeah. Well, that's why when someone just calls you Douglas randomly, you know, like you'll meet somebody and they call you Douglas. They're like, they are like treating you. They're treating you like you're smarter than probably you are.
Well, let me give it some props. I think it is a nice, like, you don't meet any mean Dougs. Like, for some reason, it's I get a warm feeling. Mm-hmm. I get a soft feeling. I get, you know, Doug is good, to at the bar and have some peanuts and hang out.
Yeah, I think like the worst case scenario Dougs are like, and especially in fiction, you know, and made up Dougs tend to be like just sort of affable, but also somewhat, potentially insignificant.
Or like, you know, second best friend. There's like always.
Yeah.
Right. Second
best friend. Yeah. Like, oh, there's, and Doug.
And yeah, cool. Yeah. There's Doug over there. He's like my second lieutenant that I keep at a distance.
And you have a drink in your hand. And you go, hey, what's up?
Second lieutenant.
You guys are always the cool guys at the part. Like, oh, that's Doug over there. Oh yeah. And then you guys go, hey, what's up?
Doing like a bong rip.
Yep. Bong rip. He's your buddy. He's your buddy. You'll go over and sit next to him on the couch and do bong rips with Doug. No problem.
Well, I think that's true. I certainly, between being such a known pot smoker and being named Doug, I guess people are very comfortable with smoking with me. And I have to, like, I don't know where you're at with this, Rob, but I'm not, you know, I'm not, I'm just puff puff now. The pass has been eliminated from my,
good Lord.
It's been eliminated from the ritual, but it, you know, so far I haven't had anybody too upset about it, but I also haven't really done like post show meet and greets. But once I start, you know, hanging out in parking lots with people again, I'm just going to have my own device or vape pen or whatever. And we can get high together. We could match bowls, as they say, like share some flour, but I'm not putting my lips on anything that someone else's lips. Like, I'm not.
Yeah, you used to go really strong with that, Doug. And I don't think it's going into the future, but I think weed getting legal, like we can all, like back in the day, it was hard to have weed. There would only be like one or two dudes that had weed and they had to share it with everybody. But now it's like everybody's got weed and it's not a big deal.
Yeah. And, you know, but also it's sharing's been a big part of it all along. So we could still do that. We just can't, you know, just hand some, you know, just saliva covered piece of wet paper or a wet device, you just can't pass it around like that anymore. And I'll tell you how serious I am about this. I belong to a trombone club, where we would get together and we only had one trombone. We'd have to pass around. I'm not doing that anymore either.
Play any wind instrument.
Would it have been funnier if I said tuba club?
I don't know. I think trombone's pretty good.
Trombone.
They both have the T and the B. They both have good comedy sounds. Yeah. And so does the name Rob. That's another thing. Rob is just kind of, there's something about it. It's a fun name, you know? Rob Roy in history was, I think, a terrible person. But how can you, you know, he sounds like a fun guy. Rob Roy.
Yeah, you know Rob. Yep.
That's like two fun names back to back. But what about your interaction with other Robs and Roberts? Has there been much of that in your life?
Oh, yeah. Well, my dad.
Really?
Yeah, my dad.
I mean, your dad's Robert. An obvious one because you're junior.
Yeah. So I liked him. And so
that's okay.
That's good how that worked out.
Then, like, other Robs I do run into, and I do give, there's a mutual respect there. And I do give it up to them. I usually get along with them. Sometimes, you know, sometimes they're completely opposite from me.
I think part of what you're experiencing, if I may be so bold, is that, you know, there are still quite a lot of Robs out there.
Yeah.
You know, so you're going to meet them more often just because there's so many of them. But you're also going to have a positive association because you're such a friendly, positive person that, you know, chances are pretty good. Your first encounter with any other Rob is going to be positive. Like, you're the kind of Rob that's going to be like, hey, I'm excited that you're named Rob as well. You know, I could never muster up enthusiasm for another Doug. I don't think I could be like, oh, that's cool. You're named Doug. Cool. But I don't think I'd be like excited to, I mean, now I'm starting to get excited to meet other Dougs just because I'm realizing that we're, you know, facing extinction or something. You know, thank God for second gentleman, Doug Emhoff, because he's really, you know, there may be, you know, maybe more liberals having kids will name their kids Doug after him, but probably not.
That's a good thing. You'll keep on. Yeah, we just got to get it out there again. But with the Rob, how my brain works, Doug, is like somebody says, oh, my name is Rob. I'm like, oh, now I can remember this dude's name really easy.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That is a really, really good point.
It takes one thing off of my brain list, which, you know, we all want to get to zero. So it's like, okay.
Yeah. I in meeting my new neighbors, it's always like a weird, stressful thing. Like, gotta remember that name. And I do have a neighbor named Doug, and it made it so easy, obviously.
Oh,
thank God your name is Doug.
And being a comedian, you get so involved in your head. So my wife gets so pissed. Sure. I can't remember everybody's name. And we see so many different people.
Right.
In the world. So it's like, yeah, I love it sometimes when I run into a Rob.
Yeah.
Tell us about the process of naming your child. How did that work out?
It's family names. I don't really want to put it all out there on the internet.
Okay. All right. I didn't know. That's the funny thing is that, you know, I'm terrible with names, and especially since I've, you know, never met any Cantrell offsprings, I don't even know what the names are.
Yeah. That's how I like.
But I mean, you tell me obviously, but if you don't want to say it on the show, I totally understand that. But where did
kids pictures on my internet? Like, I don't know, just with my brand and everything. So I try to keep everything kind of low key.
I get it. Yeah. That's cool.
But my family life is like, yeah, they do. It comes from family names, and then we have a nickname and
All right. We're just going to guess.
I can say yes or no.
Yeah.
Right, but then you might as well just tell us at the same time. Because we're going to guess it. You gave him, it's a super basic.
It's Bobbert. Definitely Bobbert.
I've got three Bobbert sons.
I'm not going to have kids, but holy shit, I would really consider Bobbert.
It's Bobbert and Yeezy.
I would really, Bobbert Benson.
Oh,
that's a little too good. All right. Well, so we won't pry any further. But like, okay.
Naming my cats. No, the cats.
No, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm more not how easy was it to decide as husband and wife on a name?
Yeah, it was easy. We get along. Yeah. My wife and I get along. So we bounce back and forth, and then we got it down and said, yeah, that's it.
All right.
It wasn't. Yeah.
Cause it seems like a lot of couples, there's a lot of, pressure. Like one has to kind of talk the other one into what ultimately ends up being the name.
Yeah. We kind of went back and forth, and then she has a nickname and that's it. Yeah. It's like, yeah.
All right. I'm satisfied. No further questions. Doug Mellard, your witness.
I had an aunt that made fun of a name hardcore, was just tearing into a certain name. And my cousin was pregnant and she started bawling. And that's how we found out that's what her name, she was going to name her kids. Because my aunt was making fun of it so bad. She was sad about it. Felt so bad for her.
Did she go through with it?
Oh yeah. She kept it. She still named it that, but
what was that name?
I don't want to say it.
Oh my God. Your relatives listen to Wide World.
Yeah. Caitlin. Fuck it. Oh, yeah.
See, that's Caitlin is a tricky one because for starters, no one can give an accurate guess as to how it's spelled first try.
Right.
You know, it already goes in two different, it's already a C or a K, and then who knows what from there. Right?
Yeah, and it's all sorts of different directions.
And then also, like, I don't know. I feel like Caitlin needs to really, really be cozy, really fit in nice with the last name, but we're not going to get that deep into it. But I'm not saying for any Caitlins listening, of which there probably aren't any, but I'm not against the name or you. But I don't know. I don't know why I have a negative association with it.
Is it Jenner?
Oh, shit. You're right. It's probably Kris Jenner. All right.
Caitlin's now, cool. I know some great Caitlins.
But, some great Caitlins?
If I was a girl, my mom said they were going to name me Robin.
Oh, wow. That's
interesting when they load it up that way, when they get it ready to go. But then.
But there was no, like, you couldn't check what sex the baby was. So I think that you had to have both in the barrel ready to go.
Right. But then, okay, Robin comes out. What about a future, like, if do you have any brothers or sisters?
I do. I have an older brother, older sister.
Yeah. So how, wait, so how did Robert not get used until you?
I guess, yeah, that's what they were. I don't know if I was, I think they say I wasn't a mistake, but I don't know if I was.
My well, mom, juniors, had, oh, they
when I was 40. So I think they just swung like, it. They were like,
junior.
Yeah, let's just throw a junior on it. Yeah, it just came out in the 70s and started running. And they said, let's call him Robbie.
Yeah, he that's really interesting that, like, because usually I feel like junior gets, that's reserved for the first born because whoever it is so anxious to have a junior and to move the name forward that why risk waiting until your third kid to drop that. So that's an interesting
Yeah, I think my dad had an ego, but he also, like...
It was in check.
It was in check.
Yeah, yeah.
He still thought he was the man, but he was still, you know, not right off the bat. So, yeah, so I got junior. So if I guess, yeah, if I have a boy one day, it'll be a three if the name gets passed on, but it is what it is.
Have you discussed that with your wife?
No. No, my wife, we had, I say this in my act, we had my kid when I was 39 and she was 39 and it was my last nut. And I shot it from the 3-point line. And, I didn't plan. I mean, Doug, you knew me. I mean, not to go back to it. I kind of want to ditch talking about family, but at the same time, it's kind of fun. Yeah, I planned on being a dad, but I also was like, you know, I was a stoner comic through my early, you know, during my 20s and early 30s.
Yeah, it's a real, you had to make a real transition there, but now, you know, now you're a stoner dad comic.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Yeah. We do a thing on this show where we, Doug and I, prepare five questions each to ask our guests. It's called Five and Five. And we're just about at that part of the show. But before we do that, we would like you to
eat some leftovers.
That's right. This is a segment we call Eat Some Leftovers, because when we don't get to all the questions with the previous guest, we don't like them to go to waste. So we would like to ask you questions that we asked our previous guest before we get to your questions. Is that okay with you, Mr. Cantrell?
Oh yeah, for sure. Let's get some leftovers. I love leftovers. I'm the king of Tupperware.
Do you know Corey Ryan Forrester?
I think I do.
Yeah, he was, he's a comedian who was our guest last week. He was delightful, but we didn't get to his questions. So, and you can answer them, you know, from your point of view, his point of view, or, you know, any point of view you'd like. And we'll start with question number one from Doug Millard.
All right. You helped author the liberal redneck manifesto, Dragon Dixie Out of the Dark. Was that your first manifesto, or do you have some other ones floating around?
I guess I answered by me. I've never had a manifesto, but I do like them.
Really? The Unabomber manifesto kind of thing?
Yeah, it's almost like, it's like, yeah, dude, do your book report. You know, like they're doing schoolwork, but it's like evil schoolwork. So you almost root for him. He's like a good nerd and he's trying to do something, but it just went wrong. Where I think that's a lot of people. I do think everybody is essentially good, but somewhere along the line, something got bent and you end up, instead of writing maybe a children's book series, you end up writing that makes gazillions of dollars, you end up writing a manifesto instead of writing Star Wars. Are you guys doing Boba Fett?
Oh yeah. I was loving it.
Loving it.
I'm only done episode one, but I was, you know, pretty entertained by, you know, this whole thing where, you know, Patton Oswalt manifested it by making that speech on Parks and Rec where he says that Boba Fett gets out of the Sarlacc pit because he, for, you know, whatever, you know, that whole sequence where he escapes and it explains how he could be alive after we thought he was, you know, dead at in the first trilogy. Boba Fett was such a weird character because, you know, I was a lad when the first trilogy happened, and when Empire Strikes Back came out, they made a big deal out of the Boba Fett action figure at McDonald's. And then you watch Empire Strikes Back and he just kind of shows up to get Han Solo at the end, and he just leaves, you know, and he doesn't say much or do much, and he's not an interesting character. Yeah. And then the next movie comes along and like they're barely into the movie and he like, you know, looks like a total dumbass because his jets go off and make him smash into the side of the ship. And then he just falls into the Sarlacc pit. He almost like kills himself basically. And
every kid's like, that's the coolest character.
But that's the thing, is we spent a year with that action figure building him up, and then he was destroyed in such a stupid way immediately in the next movie.
I got to argue with you, but you're right. He does fall into the sand pit. But I got to argue that Boba Fett, even though he just made such an impact with so little, because that armor was so dope, man. It was had that Hunter Green.
Sure.
Cool figure. And the name. This is a show all about names. I mean, you think Cantrell's a cool name. Boba Fett. Dude, I want to hang with Boba Fett. Like, that just sounds like somebody.
Well, they reeled us in. They got us. You know, like how Darth Vader has a cool name and a cool costume. Really and cool. Then he's an interesting character with things that he does. Boba Fett shows up, moves Han Solo a few inches, dies. Like, it was such a letdown. But like you're saying, you know, there are cool things about him, and they've managed to turn this, you know, I was like, at this point, if they could turn Boba Fett into a, you know, a decent series, we're going to be seeing a movie about Salacious Crumb. We're going to be seeing a movie. You're going to be seeing a movie about Num Num. It's going to be get crazy.
I don't know who is any of them the little dude that hangs out with Jabba the Hutt,
the little Muppet guy that's all screechy is Salacious Crumb.
Oh yeah.
And as soon as he came up with that name, George Lucas, that was the moment when he decided that he was going to make Star Wars suck from that point forward. But these are all very controversial opinions.
I love all of the Star Wars.
You
except
love
the
it
newer
all.
Ones. I thought Mandalorian went back to the original three. The original three you can't fuck with.
What about the Star Wars Christmas special? Have you seen that? From the 80s?
There is some good clips.
It's not good, but
it's
beautiful.
It is inspiring. It inspired a Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special, which I am looking forward to. What was the question? What got asked just now that got us?
Manifesto.
Yeah.
Oh, right. The manifesto is called Dragon Dixie Out of the Dark.
Yeah.
I mean, and what?
Took a what, shirt.
There's a,
Dix,
there's a dragon named Dixie? All right, Rob, here's my question that was meant for Corey Ryan Forrester. It goes like this. You tour with other comics under the name Well Read Tour. Like, that's the premise, Rob, is that they're all, you know, liberals who are well read, even though they all have Southern accents. They're all from the South.
I like it.
So my question to Corey was going to be, if you're so well read, how many books did you read today?
I read the Book of Boba Fett.
Nice answer.
You watched episode 4 earlier today?
I did, right before this. I'm in the middle. I'm at the last 3/4 of it. I rewatched number 1, and number 1's great. They're just beautiful pieces of art. I really am a huge fan of Book of Boba Fett and Mandalorian. I don't watch that many series, but those are the ones that definitely have made me happy.
Well, because they really, especially Mandalorian, I still have to watch more Boba Fett to figure that out. But with Mandalorian, I know what you're talking about, Rob. It's like, it feels like the world of the very first Star Wars movie. You know, the way they, you know, always have Jawas running around, and it's a lot of, you know, kind of mostly desert stuff. And that there's always some sort of cliffhanger, some sort of situation, some sort of fight, some sort of humorous moment. There's always something coming. Like Jon Favreau really gets that world of the first Star Wars movies. Cause it really reminds me of the first ones more than anything anybody's done, especially George Lucas, who just took it a whole other way with the prequels.
But they're so brilliantly packaged, like all the stills, like those art stills, like the graphic design is amazing. Like the episode 4, they're driving these big wombat, like elephant, hairy elephant, like, check it out. It's brilliant. But then they'll show the stills at the end, the music, how it's all like 1 hour. You know what it reminds me of, Doug? I used to watch this series, and it's random because it was from the 50s, but The Rifleman. Did you ever watch The Rifleman?
That's so funny. I was just talking about The Rifleman the other day to someone who was bored out of their mind. just because it was just funny. I saw Chuck Connors in an old like comedy an episode of a comedy that Betty White was on back in like the 50s or 60s, like in black and white. And he was like, you know, a big hulking dude, but it was like a, you know, he was a tough guy, but it was, you know, like, you know, he had a suit and tie on and it was a wacky sitcom. But so I was like, oh shit, that's the, you know, he went on from there to become the Rifleman and just an iconic figure. But what about him?
No, just that series. I know it was kind of, it was always on, was it? It was always on the Christian, when I lived in Virginia, it was always played on, it wasn't TBS. It was one of those like Christian television programs. Cause I think there's a big NNRA type vibe to it cause it's guns, but it is actually shot and edited really well. And it's only an hour and it gets, it's a lot like, and Kung Fu was that way. I like just one simple, I like episodic. Yeah,
you like someone who moves slowly from situation to situation so you can get your bearings and then something happens and then they move on.
And then it's over.
Another situation. Yeah. Or it's over and then they show you a series of beautiful stills of scenes that you already saw.
Yes. With some music. Ah, yes. Give that, that perfect setup for a program.
Well, congratulations, Rob Cantrell. You've managed. We've run out of time because you've been such a terrific guest. We don't have time for your questions. We don't even have time for the rest of our questions for Corey. But hopefully, we'll ask your questions of our next guest when we reconvene in a couple of weeks. We got the next new episode will be in 2 weeks. Rob Cantrell, do you have anything you'd like to plug? Any Doug plugs, if you will?
Yeah, I guess check out, I have a new album. I released a music album of 7 hip hop tracks called Caffeinated Dope Rhymes. It has a song called Coffee and Weed with Arj Barker's on it. So I never released that on streaming services. So that's out there. So that's what I'm pushing. And I edited that all during, kind of pivoted during the quarantine. And put a couple new songs on there that I made all the beats myself. So that's kind of the thing I'm pushing right now, Doug.
I love it. And, you know, like we said, he's Rob Cantrell on Twitter and something else on Instagram. And,
I think I'm in Denver. Yeah. That I'm at the Comedy Lounge on the 420 weekend. Not the 420 is Wednesday, but 420.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a good gig that I'm excited about.
Yeah, like it'll be like the 16th, 17th, something like that.
The 22nd and 23rd, I think.
Oh, you're after. Okay, I get it. After. Post, but people's, you know, it's Denver. People are still going to be getting high. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's always 420. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I bet you they weirdly take a day off on 420. Like the whole town just goes, fuck it. Let's just take a breather. Yeah. Doug Mellard, what would you like to plug?
I got a show every Tuesday in Austin, Texas at 9 o'clock at Buzz Mill East with my pal Mike Weeby. Come on and check it out. We always got a good lineup. And watch the Book of Boba Fett. It's really good. That's awesome.
Good read.
And check out coming up next, a Favreau spinoff called The Book of Bobbert Fett, starring Rob Cantrell.
Oh, you guys definitely will be in that if it comes to fruition. That would be a dream come true.
Oh my God.
Doug Loves Movies is coming to San Diego on February 5th at 420 at the American Comedy Company for all of my dates that are, you know, trickling in at this point, but we're doing, you know, I'm doing live shows here and there. Go to DougLovesMovies.com or follow me at Doug Loves Movies on Twitter or at WideWorld0. Doug's. That's how I was able to get that that Twitter name for us. Thank you once again to Rob Cantrell.
Thank you for having me on, Doug's. It was fun. Much love.
As always, Douglas in Chains.
Got it.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car right in your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, They'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.